That's better. Even with disadvantage, that's a better roll. I don't know if I can stop it, but I feel like there are two dice here. So what I do is...
A group of friends are gathered around a table littered with miscellaneous sheets of paper and wielding dice of different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, tackle his horse into the ground.
Basically, that's the plan. Why don't we make a fortune roll to see how well that
Alrighty.
Goes?
Alrighty, I will say, you're risking harm from the cart then running you over, even if you stop the horse.
That's fine. Alright, here we go. I would resist if that was a mechanic.
Suddenly Please blades.
Do. Yeah, pretty much. It's a good system.
It is.
Okay, that's bad. How'd I do?
That's really bad.
One player lurks behind a cardboard sheet. It's drawing outside, depicting a red dragon harassing a group of heroes. These players embark on high fantasy adventures through ancient forests and decrepit dungeons. Other times, they venture out into the far reaches of space, others trying to survive in a battered, ruined world.
But what's the consequence then?
Alrighty, so what happens here? You go to grapple the horse, but unfortunately, you grapple it, pull it to the ground, and then it rolls over the top of you, and then the cart over the top of it.
It's just a mess.
Dungeons & Dragons was a board game created by Gary Gygax in 1974. As the words of its first edition says, you create a unique, fictional character that lives in your imagination and the imaginations of your friends.
Can I intimidate the mountain, Felix? That's what I'm trying to say.
Threk, you can certainly try. Telegraphing where you are.
They're really an exercise in, telling stories between one another. Just through the use of rules to kind of, and like statistics and stuff to structure how those stories go.
This is Cameron Edmund. He's a PhD student and tutor at the games courses at Macquarie University and assisted in projects relating to tabletop role-playing.
So I first started playing tabletop role-playing games probably, I would have been about 14, 15, and really got back into it pretty hard last year, playing Dungeons & Dragons and taking on the role as a Dungeon Master.
But what is the Dungeon Master, you might ask? The Dungeon Master is the director, actor, organizer, writer, and game designer all rolled in one. It's up to them to create the scenarios that the players interact with skilled GMs being able to craft entire worlds with rich histories, relying purely on the player's imagination to explore.
So, describe the role of the GM to me.
So when you're a GM, you are having a conversation with a group of people. They may or not be your friends, and your job is to lead that conversation, using rules in a book as a guideline for how to lead that conversation.
They've really got to be an admin in many ways. You know, they've got to keep track of, well, I guess the, probably not the boring side of the job, but the more technical side of the job is you've got to keep track of, you know, all the enemies and what's going to happen next. You know, where do these quests lead? What every character's statistics are, what every enemy's statistics are, where might the orcs be, where might the trolls be, where might the treasure be, you know, what's going to happen if you tell this barkeep that you don't want to do the quest, how are we going to get the players there anyway, things like that, like a very kind of technical sort of record keeper almost.
But who are these players and who are we keeping records for? The players are the other people at the table, those having the conversation with the GM. They create characters to populate the world, sculpted from their imaginations. To start off, prospective adventurers have to create their own player characters. These serve as their avatars in the game as they tell the GM how they interact with the world.
Probably the most important thing when I'm constructing a character is when I make them, I try to be very direct and very focused when I create a character to play. I usually have some kind of like moral point or some kind of philosophy that I'm trying to poke at or make a point.
They choose from a varied selection of races, including human, elf, dwarf, and even other races not ripped wholesale from Tolkien. The creative process behind the player's choice of characters and how they act varies from person to person. But what does this mean for interaction with other player characters?
For my characters, really, I just come up with an idea that I think I'd like to explore and go with that. You know, ultimately, whatever character you play, it is an extension of you. And so there is that innate link, that bond that you have with your character.
I think it really depends on the player. I've played with some people who they take their characters very, very seriously. And they sort of, you know, it's like when they walk in, they basically become their character.
If I may, I think absolutely. That I like lean in and I'm like, you know, he speaks in Orcish, so in Orcish he's speaking like the most soothing sounds you can ever hear. But to a horse, it's just he like slaps on the side of the head and he just freaks out and bolts.
As soon as they're playing the game, they're no longer John from down the road. They are Grothgar, the bone crusher or whatever, and they take it really seriously. Whereas other players might be a bit more interested in kind of having fun with it.
My current character is a rogue. He's a sneaky little fella and is out to get as rich as possible. I don't say I relate to him that much at all, but I enjoy playing him because, you know, I can't really be that greedy in real life.
But wouldn't it be easier to just play a video game? Don't video games already have this level of interactivity?
I think part of it is there's inherently more freedom in a TRPG than in a game like Skyrim or even World of Warcraft, which, you know, give you a campaign and give you certain things to pick from. And it comes back, I guess, to a bit of an argument as well regarding role-playing, like computer role-playing games or console role-playing games. Games like the Fallout series had a lot of freedom for the player. You know, you could choose a lot of things to do, a lot of things to say. And Fallout 4 came along and it was a lot more scripted. And a lot of people really didn't like that because it meant that they had less of their own personality in there and less of themselves in there.
So people have an attraction to agency in games, but there's the concern that rules in tabletop role-playing games might be restrictive or overwhelming.
In my group of people who play D&D, we had one person come along and she really was kind of a bit nervous about the whole thing, I think, and a bit shy and not that keen on it. But we just said, oh, just, you know, come along and hang out, and if you want to play, you can play, and, you know, we order pizza and we have drinks, so, you know. And sort of framing it as a social event might bring more people in, and also being open.
It's surprising how many people you wouldn't think know about these kind of games, but they've just never had an opportunity to actually play them.
I think just exposing people to the game itself is just a great way to open their eyes and like break down these stereotypes. Because as long as you let them believe that these stereotypes exist, then, you know, that's all they're gonna know.
I think that still in general, it is a male-dominated market, but I do think that we are seeing change. I think that it's really important that we start to see people who are not just white males from, you know, 20 to 30 years old or whatever.
So, do tabletop role-playing games expand from here? Or does the bubble burst? I guess only time will tell.
Clearly your choice and what you want to be. You can be anything you want. That's the point in these kind of games.